This is Rush to Reason.
You are going to shut your damn yapper and listen for a change, because I got you pegged, sweetheart. You want to take the easy way out because you're scared. And you're scared because if you try and fail, there's only you to blame. Let me break this down for you. Life is scary. Get used to it. There are no magical fixes.
With your host, John Rush.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir.
You haven't made everybody equal. You've made them the same, and there's a big difference.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know, you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. It is this feeling that has brought you to me.
Are you crazy?
Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's Rush to Reason, brought to you by Absolute Electrical Heating and Air. With your host, John Rush.
All right, hour three is upon us. I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Brandon Smith joining us now. If you don't respect my freedoms, I don't respect your pronouns. Brandon's a 15-year veteran, by the way, of the Liberty Movement, founder of Alternative Market Project. Welcome to Rush to Reason, Brandon.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you for joining us as well. I do appreciate it. All right. So, by the way, I like this title. If you don't respect my freedoms, I don't respect your pronouns. I'm getting emails now lately from, I get stuff from all over the, you name it, wherever, Brandon, literally. I mean, I wear a lot of hats. I get a lot of different emails and so on. What I'm now seeing is the trend is in your signature line to put in what your quote unquote proper pronouns are.
Yeah, it definitely seems like the trend is for the government to support this the transgender agenda, if you call it, I guess. The issue here, I think, is that it's a very tiny group of people, less than 1% of the population. I think it's 0.3% that claim to be transgender. That's not even the people that actually have gender dysphoria, which is the mental illness associated with transgenderism. So it's probably much tinier than that, even than the 0.3%. And yet we have entire governments catering to this very small minority of people, to the point where they're making laws against people like you and I misusing their pronouns. And that's insane. This is absolutely insane. And that's kind of the thrust of the article that I wrote, was that basically the patients are taking over the asylum, and the 99.whatever% of the population is now required to participate in the delusions and the fantasies of a very tiny minority of mentally ill people.
Question for you, because I've often wondered this myself. How did this, to your point, 0.3% of the population, how did they gain so much traction and get where they're at today? I mean, to me, that seems like a miracle in and of itself.
Well, I think the mistake a lot of people make in, conservative circles or liberty movement circles is they think that these people, along with the social justice movement, that they're, even though they're a tiny minority, they created a mob which is putting pressure on the corporations and on different, state governments and the federal government, that all of these corporations and governments are caving in to that mob pressure. It's actually the opposite. These people, have existed for a long time, the PC cult, the social justice warriors. They've existed for a long time, but they had no power. They put pressure on governments and companies for many years, and they had no power until and the governments decided to give them power. And what I see here is that this is actually an agenda of the corporate world and elites in government, that this is part of their agenda, and they've decided to promote it and give these people power. It's to their benefit. It's about breaking down the society, breaking down American society and traditional American culture.
Agree.
And they're using these people to do that. It's not that these people are using the government.
Yep. No, I agree. And I think you're spot on what you're saying there. They are a tool, if you would, for the powers that be. Am I saying that right?
Absolutely, yeah. They're like a bludgeon or a battering ram that they can use. And it, the advantage to using minority supposed victim groups for that process is if you and I criticize the agenda, then they can come back and call us bigots,
right,
and racists or whatever else, transphobic, even though that word 5 years ago.
Right, right.
They can call us all kinds of terrible names. We're terrible, evil people because we're criticizing the agenda.
Even though, you and I both are not crazy, we're not the type of individuals these people claim. The other thing that I'm fearful of, and I say fearful because this is a, how do I want to say this, Brandon? I feel like there's parents out there, even when it comes to this transgender end of things, especially when it comes to children. I almost feel like, and I've had this conversation, numerous times with, family members and so on, and I really feel like there are those parents out there that kind of look at having a transgendered kid as being kind of that cool in thing, look at my little Sally. She now wants to be, Johnny, or Johnny wants to be Sally. Isn't that cool? Isn't that neat? We're supporting her, blah, blah, blah. And in that case, the kid's a tool as well, because frankly, you and I both know, Brandon, there's not a kid out there that if that's the one thing they're thinking about, they got so many other things going on in their brain. All they need is a parent to come along and say, you're a boy, you're a girl, let's move on.
Well, and there's definitely incentive for them to do that, and the incentive is that, in this hierarchy that the social justice movement has created, it's like a totem pole, where different victim groups are in different spots on the totem pole, and they get certain benefits and special treatment according to their mm-hmm. place on that hierarchy. And for some reason, transgenders are now at almost the very pinnacle. They're at the top of the totem pole. They get the most protection, the most special treatment, even though they're the tiniest, minority, which you almost never run into an actual transgender person in your life. They're at the top. So the benefit of saying you're now transgender, now I'm transgendered, now my kid is transgender. The benefit of doing that is you can automatically, especially if you're a white straight person who's at the bottom of the totem pole, now you can jump right to the top and say, now I am the most oppressed.
True.
So I deserve all the goodies.
Good point. No, you bring up something that really I was kind of, I guess, on the right track there with my thought process. You just added something to it that I hadn't thought of. Yeah, you just jumped to the top of the line now.
Exactly. Yeah, it's for the straight white liberals to jump over top of all mm-hmm. the other oppressed groups mm-hmm. and become the most oppressed of all of them.
Do you see this ending? In other words, is this just a trend that you think will end, or is this something that you see over time getting worse? What are your thoughts there?
I think that the public, overall, the American public is extremely sick and tired of this kind of nonsense. I mean, people, it's the same thing as if you had a group of schizophrenics get together and they all decided they were part of an oppressed group, and then you had to identify them by whatever persona they decided they were. So some schizophrenic says, today I'm Napoleon Bonaparte. And you have to call them Napoleon Bonaparte mm-hmm. because the law says so. That it's the same exact thing. So I think the public they're tired of being roped in and forced to participate in this fantasy world. And I think in terms of that, it could end. But as long as corporations and governments are supporting these people, they're always going to have the ability to wield power and to cancel people who disagree with them.
And I agree. I think you're spot on both accounts. I do think that we're in a situation where at least the people that I talk to, even in the business world, Brandon, are really getting to the point where it's like, enough of it. I mean, come on, let's just get back to normal. This is just craziness now that, we've gone down some of these paths. And I do think people are just tired of it. I also agree with you, though, that it will not stop until we have some changes on the governmental business leader, large business leader end of things, and or, let me throw this at you, and or something else comes along that supplants all of that, to where they now kind of become lower in the pecking order and something else comes above them, then, of course, a lot of it goes away because something else takes their place. I just don't know what that would be.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm sure they'll come up with something. Maybe it'll be transracialism next, or trans.
I mean, honestly, Brandon, when I was a kid, I never would have thought, even 10 years ago, I never thought I'd be on air today, you know, talking about, you know, transgenders and having protections and me having to put into my signature that I'm a he, him, and not a shim. I mean, it's just ridiculous, some of the things that we're going through right now, Brandon, and I never would have predicted that.
Yeah, you know, it's. I think it's sort of the natural inclination or thrust of the social justice movement and leftism in general is to just destroy every facet and foundation of the culture. And, you know, gender is, biological gender is an integral part of any human society, any human culture.
You're right.
A lot of what we do depends on our recognition that of biological fact.
Yeah.
So if you want to destroy our culture, that's a good way to do it. That's a good way, at least part of destroying the culture is taking that initiative and destroying the idea of gender.
Fully agree. Brandon, I should have said this earlier. I meant to say it. Welcome back. I know you've been on with myself and Andy both. How do folks find you? What's the website?
They can find me at alt-market.us. That's alt-market.us.
Brandon, always a joy having you. You speak our language. You're welcome anytime. Just reach out. Love to have you. It's always a joy. I appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah, definitely. I'm happy to come back anytime.
Appreciate it very much. Brandon Smith again, and that website, we'll have it up again on our website as well, as alt-market.us alt-market.us. Absolute Electrical Heating and Air coming up next, folks. And as we heard earlier from Lewis, the owner, and Eric, who's their boiler tech in charge of that end of things when it comes to hot water heat, hydronic, we call that. But they would love to help you with anything around your house, including just coming out and doing a free inspection, and they'll do that. Don't forget to call in and ask about their Absolute Advantage membership. That's a $329 value that is free to Rush to Reason listeners, but you have to tell them that. 720-526-0231 or find them at klzradio.com.
You don't need a new air conditioner. You just need to get rid of that dead rodent clogging up the wheel. The technicians at Absolute Electrical Heating and Air complete a thorough inspection before making any recommendations. They'll show you the photos to prove it. You know that feeling when you get a copy of a checklist that a technician supposedly completed, but you're not so sure? After a competitor told one customer they'd need a new air conditioner, Absolute came out for a second opinion. Once they opened up the unit, they found a dead rodent stuck in the wheel. They took a picture to show the homeowner. Then they got the rodent out. No new air conditioner needed. You can imagine how grateful the customer was to save thousands of dollars on an unnecessary replacement. Absolute Electrical Heating and Air includes photos in all of their reports, because you need to see for yourself that you can trust them. Call the team that has nothing to hide. 720-526-0231.
For quality and service beyond compare, call Absolute Electrical Heating and Air.
American National Insurance is next. Paul Leuenberger, who is my personal insurance agent, he could be yours as well. And it's easy. He's a guy also, by the way, where you got a change to make. You don't have to go online. You don't have to dink around with anybody. You can either send a text message or an email, and it's handled. It's that simple. I don't want to have to go to some obscure person out in Never Never Land that I have no idea where they're at to get my insurance stuff taken care of. I want a real voice, a real body, a real person that I can talk to, and that's Paul and Sean, his assistant. So all you have to do is call 303-662-0789.
The rebate program with American National Insurance saves everyone money by incentivizing responsible money management. Depending on the cost, customers of Paul Leuenberger will sometimes choose to pay out of pocket rather than making a claim, because they'd rather receive the sizable rebate at the end of 3 years than pay their deductible now. As a result, American National Insurance tends to pay out fewer claims each year compared to the competition, which is in part what gives them an A credit rating. American National Insurance then passes along that benefit to their customers by keeping their rates as good or better than their competition. With other insurance companies, you'd need to purchase extra rider policies at additional cost in order to receive comparable coverage. But American National Insurance rewards personal responsibility, Call Paul Leuenberger now for more comprehensive home insurance coverage at remarkably reasonable rates. 303-662-0789. 303-662-0789.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Charlie and I were just talking through the break there, and my brother, who's passed on, would still allow me to tell this story today because, no, he did not get traumatized over what happened in our childhood. And I've said this on the National Crawford Roundtable before, and maybe you've even said it on here, but when we were kids, my cousin had a baby doll. I can't remember even what the type of baby doll it was, but she had a baby doll. And my cousin and my brother, we actually, my family, my mom's side especially, we were very, very close. And I have all girl cousins on my mom's side of the family. There's no boys. My brother and I were it. And now that my brother's passed away, I'm it. So it's all girls on that side of the family. And growing up, you know, we would hang out together, do different things, church, you name it. And my cousin, I can't remember how old my brother was, but he was probably 5, 6, 8, 6-ish, somewhere in that neighborhood, I want to say. And he wanted a baby doll for Christmas, just like my cousin had. And I mean, he asked and asked and asked for that baby doll for Christmas to the point where my dad, who's a man's man, by the way, finally said, and my brother's name was Mark, "Mark, you are not getting a baby doll for Christmas. No son of mine is going to play with dolls." And he said it just like I can remember to this day the words that were said. I added something to this that I've never said on air before, too. By the way, I love my dad dearly, still love him today. He's a man's man. He raised me right. I'm very thankful for that. My brother and I had G.I. Joes growing up that we got for Christmas one year. And I guarantee you that it was only because of my mom that my brother and I ended up with G.I. Joes, because, again, my dad was dead set against us even having G.I. Joes because his boys were not going to play with dolls, period. My dad raised my brother and I both to be men. And you know what, folks? We need more of that. Part of what we've got going on right now with all of this transgender nonsense is men aren't men. And no offense, women have run too many things for too long. And we wonder why boys are sissies. Because men are gone. And they don't do what my dad did. And they don't say, "My boys are not going to act like girls." That's what's wrong, folks. This isn't rocket science. Where have all the men gone? Guys, pull up your pants and act like one. And yeah, sometimes that means getting excited like I am right now. Nothing wrong with that. Good gravy. Where have we gotten to? And by the way, I blame a lot of this on the church because we feminize everything in the church. Everything. From the way the sanctuary looks to the way everything is inside of a church, it's all feminized. Men have no say. Very little anyways. So yeah, I'm blaming some of this on the church as well because they're part of the problem. They created some of this. Wussification of men. That's why we have transgenderism and the issues we have today, and why when you sign your signature now in an email, it has to say he, she, whatever, whatever, or shim. Because of what I just said. We need more guys like my dad who said, "My boys won't play with dolls." Charlie asked me, did that traumatize my brother any way, shape, or form? It was a family joke after that, so nobody was traumatized at all. Even my cousin will tell you, and she'll even laugh about it today. She listens to the program. She's probably laughing right now. It was funny. It was a joke. My brother was not traumatized any way, shape, or form. It all went fine in our family. He ended up being a minister. He was a man's man. I mean, hunted fish, did all the different things that men do. Was a great dad, was a great leader, was a great father. Lord took him too soon, as far as I'm concerned, but I'm not in charge. So, you know, again, at the end of the day, did it traumatize my brother to where he was ineffective in life and couldn't function? And did it trigger him, quote unquote, some way, somehow? Not one bit. Just goes to show you, kids are a lot more resilient than you think. You just got to tell them how it's going to be sometimes. And boys need to be boys and girls need to be girls. By the way, it's also why, and I believe this to this day, I raised my boys the same way. My dad raised us this way. We were never allowed ever to touch a woman in any kind of an aggressive way, hitting, wrestling, anything along those lines. I taught my boys the same way. I don't care what their sisters did. They were not allowed to ever fight back. Now, some of you may disagree with my stance on that, but to me, being raised that way, it was a part of what a man did. It's why when you go someplace and there's a woman walking through, you hold the door. Whether she wants it opened or not, I'm still going to hold it. That's what men do. It's called being a gentleman. It's how my dad raised me. Again, folks, we've lost these things. As a society and as a country, we have forgotten how to be men. And in some cases, we've been beat up far too much for far too long by far too many people, and it's high time men started being men again. If men were men, we wouldn't have half the problems we have in this country today. I believe that sincerely. I'll get off my soapbox. Scott Garlis is going to join us in a minute. We'll talk what's going on in the markets and all of that. But that last little bit we had with Brandon Smith, if you don't respect my freedoms, I don't respect your pronouns. Good article. Well said. And if you haven't read much on what Brandon writes, do so. We've had him on now about four times. Every single time he's been spot on. We'll continue to have him back on, and he's doing a great service. I was going to talk about another article today that I didn't get a chance to get to because I was ranting and raving about transgenderism and how to be a man. Which, why in the world do I even have to have that conversation? That should be a given. I'm still irritated I have to even talk about this stuff. What happened to men just being men, where I don't even have to talk about it? Charlie, 30 years ago, you wouldn't have this conversation. Men knew how to be men. It wasn't a problem. It was easy. Now I have to tell men how to be a man. Unbelievable. Anyways, there's an article. This was in Yahoo as well, where there was a couple of individuals. These were foreign individuals that were in the United States. Foreign as in they've come from another country to the United States to start a life, do things. They had $100,000 in their car. They were on their way to buy a farm, had a contract. They had saved up this money. These were two, individuals from India, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure I'm saying that correctly. Vietnamese individuals. And by the way, the seller of the land said two of the nicest guys he'd ever met and had great business acumen. Anyways, they were stopped in Oklahoma in the middle of the night. No apparent reason. They weren't even going over the speed limit. They were under the speed limit. But they were caught, and through the course of a illegal search, by the way, the police found about $130,000 in cash in the car. Keep in mind, they were on their way to buy, with cash, a piece of farmland for $100,000. Nothing illegal at all had gone on. But the police stop and find the cash, and guess what? They keep it. It's that old search and seize issue we have going on in this country, which, by the way, is a bunch of crap. Police should not be allowed to do so. But they do it. It happens every day. It seems like every year I talk about one of these big stories, maybe about every 6 months I talk about one of these. You'd think by now, after as much as we've talked about this, this would get fixed. It's not. To the point where you wonder if you can even carry cash around anymore. And by the way, that's a bunch of garbage. There's no law that says you can't carry $100,000 in cash around if you want to. And by the way, just because you do doesn't mean you're a criminal. But that's what that's what a lot of police officers across this country think, is if you have $100,000 in cash, you're doing something illegal. That's not always the case, as in the case of these two individuals. This is one of these things I'd like to come back to and delve into more and talk about, but these two individuals are now still trying to get, this is back in 2017, or sorry, not 2017, this is recently, one of them had a conviction in 2017 that, by the way, the police, it had nothing to do with why they kept the money. Here's the other thing in this particular case that happened. The officers claim they confiscated $131,000, $131,500, but that's $10,000 short of what was actually in the car. There was $141,500, so now there's $10,000 even missing out of what they recorded they took. Folks, be careful if you're carrying around any amount of cash whatsoever, because this is one area where I don't trust law enforcement. I'm sorry, I just don't. They'll take it from you. And maybe that officer won't, but somebody else may come along and do so. This is one of those things I'll talk to Kevin Flesch about next time he's on as well. But this forfeiture nonsense that we have going on in this country, all because they think somebody's doing something illegal, is a bunch of garbage. Literally, it's a bunch of garbage. I've talked about it many times on this program, and I'll continue to do so. Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next, folks. Don't forget to get your tires handled now. Do not wait. The longer you wait, the more it's going to cost you, and you may not even find the tire you need when you actually need it. Right now, there's up to $70 rebate on a set of four Cooper tires at Extreme Auto Repair. And keep in mind, they can do all of your other services that you need on your vehicle as well. Find them at klzradio.com, 303-841-1071.
The team at Extreme Auto Repair takes care of their customers because they can. In order to earn the NAPA Auto Care Gold Certification, Extreme Auto Repair in Parker passed rigorous scrutiny, testing the quality of their customer service. Hundreds of legitimate Google reviews, master technicians, digital vehicle inspections. Then, COVID-19 caused delays in the supply chain and nationwide part shortages. Once again, the team at Extreme Auto Repair stepped up to the challenge. They believe you do what you can for the customer, so they're staying in touch with suppliers on a daily basis, planning ahead to stay in stock. Thanks to their long-standing relationships with vendors, they have the ability to protect their customers from supply chain issues. So they're doing it. It's the right thing to do. Call them, 303-841-1071. Extreme Auto Repair in Parker. Promises made, promises kept.
Flesh and Beck, Kevin Flesh, again, just talked about, you know, the illegal search and seizures that happen at times. That's where you need a good attorney, by the way, on speed dial on your phone. Give Kevin a call today, 303-806-8886. Find him at fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, offers a free consultation because he doesn't want the cost to stop you from talking to a lawyer. Suppose you had to pay a few $100s for your initial consultation with Kevin Flesh. Instead of having a productive conversation, you'd be worrying about the money the whole time. Then, suppose you don't retain him. You realize you don't need his services after all, so you wasted your money. It's too much pressure. Kevin wants you to feel comfortable talking to a lawyer without the distraction of a fee. Call Flesh and Beck Law now at 303-806-8886 and schedule a free consultation with Kevin. He'll be able to tell almost immediately whether or not you even have a case. Kevin always tells people honestly when they shouldn't hire him, so you'll leave the conversation better informed without wasting your money. Talk to KLZ's personal injury attorney for free at 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, we're back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Charlie's running up Scott Garlis, which we'll get to in a moment. I should have a little bit of time after Scott's done to, if you want, we're going to jump back on. I know, Wayne, you called in to talk about that illegal search and seizure. If I get a chance after this next guest, we should be able to do it. And here's the deal. If not, I will come back to that topic because it's a major topic. It's one that needs to be talked about more. People need to be aware of that and be careful with what you're actually dragging around with you, especially when you're out traveling in your vehicle, because honestly, I don't trust what's going on in that area. You're liable to lose everything you've got that you're dragging along with you, and I would be very, very careful in that particular area. But Scott Garlis joining us now. Scott, I know it's Wednesday. Thanks for changing. I appreciate it very much. How are we doing this week on hump day?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Doing okay. There's a, as always, a lot going on. There's a lot of news out there right now, especially about the, I hate to call it the infrastructure bill because it's actually far from that. It's a huge social program bill is what it really is. But where are we at on that and what's being said about it?
I think the bigger one, you want to talk about the infrastructure bill or do you want to talk about the budget bill? I mean,
well,
you're talking about
the $3.75 trillion that the White House wants to run through and run down our throats. Let's say it that way.
Fair enough. So like the social infrastructure bill.
Correct.
So right now, what we've heard from Joe Manchin, Democratic Senator from West Virginia, and Kyrsten Sinema, Democratic Senator from Arizona, is they will not back the $3.5 trillion bill, and basically, those two votes are needed to get it through the Senate via the record.
Yeah, without those, it's dead, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
So unless two Republicans were to bolt for some reason, but that
I don't see that happening.
Well. Yes. So, you know, the White House keeps going back and forth. They keep trying to talk up a number. the number keeps dropping. So what we saw yesterday and today, the White House basically sat down with a bunch of Democrats from the House and Senate and said, hey, we think we have a shot at getting a deal done in the $1.75 to $1.9 trillion range. Manchin, after this statement, told reporters he's still stuck at $1.5 trillion.
Okay.
So right now, the number keeps moving lower. The $3.5 trillion number, it seems like a pipe dream at this point. You never know. But I would say $1.5 trillion is likely what you're going to have to see it come down to. Now, Manchin could still be lowballing to get it down, and he might be happy with $1.7. But from what I've heard from the people I talked to in Washington, D.C., the policy guys, they're telling me 1.2 to 1.8, that is likely the number.
Okay. Okay.
So from a market perspective, the stock market likes that, and here's the reason why. One of the big things here is Sinema doesn't want to see taxes go up at all to pay for this. Manchin has said he might be willing to go as high as 25%. The current rate is 21%. So, you know, when we started, people were worried about this number going into the 30s.
Right.
When I say people, I should say Wall Street was worried about this number going in the 30s. So when it goes up there, that means taxes go way up for a lot of corporations.
Right.
That means their profitability goes down. They have less to spend on their businesses. That can trickle out all over the place. So when they're seeing this, hearing this, you still have Sinema saying, she's apparently telling lobbyists right now she's still unwilling to budge on the tax number. And Manchin saying 25, you know, that means it's not going to, if it moves, it's not moving far off the 21% number. So you're seeing the stock market react positively.
Okay.
Because, you know, if you threw that on top of inflation, the worry is profits start getting eaten up very quickly.
Right. Right. Well, as you say, you never know what's going to happen. We'll have to watch to see what happens next. There's also, literally, these are rumors because there's really not a lot of validity to it, but there's rumors that if Manchin continues to get pushed in the way he's getting pushed, he's liable to become an independent. I don't know how much that's really true or not, but, you know, in this day and age, Scott, anything can happen.
Yeah. You never, you know, I was always surprised when, who's the guy that ran for vice president a few years back? Well, it was sometime back now. The guy from Connecticut, and he seemed like he was Democratic through and through, and afterward he wound up turning around and becoming an independent. Yes, you never know what's going to happen.
You never know. So, all right, so let's talk oil. That's always a big deal because every, sure, even outside of the huge spending, you know, bill that, you know, big spending project that's coming out of the White House right now, aside from that, people watch the gas pump. I don't know if, again, you can't really believe every single thing that you see on social media, although I did see some things today on Facebook and Twitter that showed gasoline in some part of California, I have no idea where, at around $6 to $7 a gallon. I don't know if that's true or not, but let's just say this. Gasoline is something every single person in America watches.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, they say that a hike of gasoline prices at the pump is worse for Americans than a tax increase.
Yes.
And I definitely believe that's true because, yeah, I realize not all of us are commuting back and forth to work like we were, but people are still driving a lot more again, and they will go back to that,
that's right,
regular commute or much more regular commute. And, yeah, that's going to hit your bottom line.
All right, so let's talk about, you know, rig counts, what's going on that way. You sent me a little chart on it, which I thought was interesting. So I know we can't share that, sure, on air. It's really hard to do, but explain what the chart says.
Yeah, so right now what we saw was, so with rig counts, what you tend to see is, you know, rig or oil production, when prices plummet, people start shutting down rigs because companies need to save money, especially, you know, there are estimates out there that oil has to be at least $50 for a lot of these guys to be able to pay back, to be able to drill oil, make a little bit of money, and pay off debt.
Right.
When that doesn't happen, the idea is they start shutting down production, which means closing wells, you know, because they need to save money to still pay off their debt. They lay off people.
Right.
So what happened back in early 2020, when we had the pandemic hit and everything started falling apart economically, the rig count collapsed. We went from like a 700 number down to 200. That was the lowest number since the financial crisis. But now, you know, we're seeing the economy turn back on. We're seeing demand pick back up. But rigs tend to be, or the oil companies tend to be slower to turn the rigs back on when the economy rebounds, because there's still that feeling of unease and uncertainty. On top of that, you know, you have an administration that has been very vocal about its desire to move away from fossil fuels and more toward alternative energy. So that makes these drillers even more uncertain about their future.
Right.
So what you're seeing right now is the rig count has rebounded to like a 450, 480 range, but oil prices...
Actually, as of this week, 543, I'm on oilprice.com, so it's even up a little further.
Okay. Yeah, but so... You've seen oil prices rise much more rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
They've bounced from, you know, the downturn. I mean, there was a day I remember watching this thing went to like negative $30.
Oh yeah, I can remember sitting there. My brother and I together were watching it. We were basically FaceTiming one another and watching literally that you know, and I couldn't believe how low, because it was a negative number, how low that number actually got. Even though it was a high number, it had a negative, you know, had a minus sign in front of it, which means it was not a good deal.
No. I mean, they were paying you to take barrels of oil.
That's right.
Which is crazy.
Unbelievable.
I specifically remember telling guys I worked with, or I work with now, and I used to work with, that if we were only allowed to take delivery of barrels of oil, this is the bottom of the oil market. Since then, you know, we're looking at prices. I don't have it up in front of me, but north of $80, right? I think it's around $83. Is that correct?
You are right on the money.
And that's for West Texas Intermediate oil.
Actually, it closed out today a little higher than it. Where West Texas Intermediate is 84.25, Brent was 85.82. So they're really close to one another, right around that mid-80s.
Yeah, so as we've seen this huge rebound, what we're starting to see now is the rig count's going back up. But the problem is, what this tells me is supply cannot keep up with demand right now. Demand's exploding, so prices are headed higher. Now, we saw this exact same scenario play out when Barack Obama came into office back in 2009. At that time, we had oil right around 40 bucks. And we also saw there was a big spending package. It was the American Rescue Package of 2009. Came in not too long after he got inaugurated. I want to say it was around February 17th it got passed. At that time, it was a $787 billion bill. Is the biggest spending package I think we've ever seen. Oil prices almost tripled to, I believe they went to about 114 in April of 2011. I want to say that the exact number was like 113.63 or something like that.
Hmm.
So what that tells me is oil prices almost tripled from the time he got into office, because the economy was digging out of a downturn.
Right.
They had this big spending package. The economy exploded, and oil supply wasn't nearly ready to keep up with demand. So now we fast forward to 2020, or 2021, I'm sorry. Similar things happening. Biden got in on January 20th, same day inaugurated. And then on the 23rd or 24th, I believe, of this year, we passed a huge spending bill.
Right.
It was 1.9 trillion, I think that was the number at the time.
Yep.
Maybe 2.2. And so, again, you have an administration that seems to be anti-fossil fuel, pro-environment. You have a big spending package, and you have an economy that's rebounding. Oil was about 50 bucks when Biden got into office. So, to me, looking at that, and history isn't always... The past isn't always a predictor of the future, but I would say you could make a good case that you could see $130 oil within the next year and a half, 2 years before this is all said and done.
Wow, that's a big and that means over $4 a barrel at the pump for everybody listening.
Yeah, I would think that definitely means that. That's, and again, going back to what you've been talking about with inflation, that's a big inflation number.
It is, and that number, as we all know, hits everybody really where it hurts the most. Because to your point, Scott, it's something that it's even hard for a lot of folks to budget for, because when it changes that sharply, that quickly, these are things where they're literally buying, in some cases, you know, a full tank at a time, or in some cases they're buying $5 or $10 at a time. Well, $5 isn't going to buy you much right now, so it's $10 or $20 at a time, and it really does hurt a lot of folks that, frankly, probably can't afford that in the first place. They're the ones getting hurt the worst.
Yes. So if I were somebody looking to invest and I had more of a short-term horizon, I would be worried about investing investing in industrial companies, like say a PPG or Sherwin-Williams. They make industrial coatings and paints. Those things or anything that makes polymers, like a 3M that are used in plastics, those things are made out of oil. Their costs are going
right
up. That means they're going to be less profitable. Now, and where I would look is somebody like financials, because when inflation goes up, the central banks have to tighten policy. And what that means is when banks make loans, they are going to be able to make more profits typically on their loans because rates are going up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would look to invest in banks. I would look to stay away from industrials. And then, you know, the oil producers like an ExxonMobil and a Chevron, I mean, those guys are still going to wind up making money off of this.
What they say they're going to do with future, I mean, there was an Exxon announcement, I believe, you know, to some of their to the stockholders from the board, and of course we now have some activists that are on those boards, and even though they're giving lip service to we're going to do X, Y, and Z, you and I both know they're going to make money on this.
Yes, it's correct.
Period.
It's correct.
It's going to happen.
Yes, it's correct. And, you know, it's we are putting a lot of money, you know, another way to think about it is too, like the Russians and the Saudis, I mean, we're putting a lot of money in these guys' pockets as well, because we're driving up oil prices all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, and here's the reality. Until that supply comes on board and it starts to take away from some of that demand by having more supply than demand, the prices won't come down. Now, regardless of what the White House does, once these guys see that, hey, this is $85 a barrel and it may even go to $100 a barrel, we can turn some things on regardless of what Joe Biden and his cronies are doing, we're going to go ahead and do so. That will, over time, of course, drive things back down some. My fear is, Scott, it just won't do it quickly enough.
You know, it takes a while. I mean, they can talk about releasing from a strategic.
Yeah, that's a drop in the bucket.
Exactly. It's people don't understand. That is a headline thing. It's really not that much.
It's nothing.
It can't have that much impact. Exactly. So it's really that is totally lip service. Now, you know, another area to invest, you know, we're talking about electronic vehicles and alternative energy. Alternative energy tends to have, I want to say it's a 0.98 correlation coefficient with oil prices. So, you know, 1,000 or 1 is perfect. So it's really close. So when you see oil is running, energy prices are running,
mm-hmm.
you know, people are more interested in alternative energy and solar, electric vehicles, because they're trying to think of ways to get away from these costs. So interest goes up, investment goes up. So those stocks tend to run with oil just for that reason. So if you think oil's got some decent legs, you know, that's an investment worth making.
Mm-hmm. Can't disagree with you on that. You know what? I'll leave it at that. That's a good way to look at things and some good advice. We'll continue to watch this, continue to talk to you. How do folks find out more? And there's even things you guys do on a daily basis to help with all of that. How do they do that?
Yeah, sure. Check out StansberryInvestor.com. You can look at all of our free stuff. Check out our paid stuff. We're there to help the little guy.
Scott, as always, it's a joy having you. I appreciate it very much, sir.
Thank you very much for your time.
You bet. Take care, Scott. That's Scott Garlis again, Stansberry Research. Affordable Interest Mortgages next. Kurt Rogers, he'll be with me tomorrow, by the way. Anything, though, you need prior to that, including, you know, setting up an appointment to get your free mortgage review, call Kurt directly, 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable interest mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, who, again, much like Scott Garlis, as you start looking through all these different things, figuring out how to plan for the future, plan for retirement, and so on, Scott's looking at more of what you guys can do day-to-day to, you know, make some money and, you know, do some different things that way. Al's looking long-term. Where are you going to be? How do you get there? How do you stay there? Find him at klzradio.com, 303-744-1128.
In every meeting, Al Smith spends more time listening than talking. Financial advisors who push one type of product probably sell only that product. They're giving you advice based on their profits. It may not be bad advice, but it's certainly not comprehensive. Because he's not limited to asset management alone, Al offers a variety of investment vehicles to his clients, from the most conservative to the most aggressive. Al never tries to persuade his clients to choose one product over another. That's not his job. His job is to create a financial plan that fits your risk tolerance, providing a clearer picture of what your retirement will look like so you know what to expect. He does that by listening carefully. Many of Al's clients have modest assets but have them invested wisely, some completely protected from loss, generating income for future use, some growing. KLZradio.com/money, planning with purpose. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Is the cost of replacing your old copier with a new one a shock to your budget? I'm Josh, a technician with Business Equipment Service. We specialize in premium, like-new copiers and printers that have had very minimal usage. They look like new, they work like new, and are backed by our 12-month performance warranty. It's as new as you can get without the box. At Business Equipment Service, you don't get less, you just pay less. Check us out at BESofColorado.com.
The ACA, the Affordable Care Act, basically it's individual health insurance for people under age 65. This year, a lot of people don't realize there's a boatload of people out there who previously did not qualify for the tax credit that do now.
Call Paul Inigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts now, 303-423-0162.
Be an informed voter. I'm Kim Munson, and I'm here to help. Be sure to check out my We the People Voters Guide at Kim Munson, that's MONSON.com.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Wayne Castle Rock, I apologize. I got a couple of minutes left, though. I wanted to at least squeeze you in before we took our last break, so go for it, sir.
Yeah, that's all right, John. Thank you for taking my call. What you're referring to is civil asset forfeiture.
Yep, civil forfeiture.
And this is where the problem lies. It's not criminal asset forfeiture.
Nope.
It's civil asset forfeiture.
It's what they think you might be doing with the money, and I'm going to now take it.
Yep.
Now, it's a bunch of garbage is what it is, Wayne.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you a story. A personal friend of mine. After we got out of college, he moved down to Texas. He had a great job offer in Houston. And he had just paid off his truck.
Okay.
And so he decided he wanted to buy a boat. And he was looking for a particular model, and he couldn't find one in Texas. So he found one in Utah. And he called me and said, Wayne, I'm coming through Colorado. Let's get together for lunch. I said, beautiful. Let's do that. We met for lunch, and then he went on his way to Utah. As soon as he crossed the Utah border, he was pulled over. He had $10,000 in a briefcase to buy that boat.
Right.
Seller said cash only.
Correct.
So he had $10,000 in a briefcase. Well, they pulled him over and said they smelled pot.
Sure they did.
He never smoked pot in his life.
Of course.
He owned the truck since new, and so there was no pot smell in that truck. But they not only took his $10,000, but they confiscated his truck.
That's right. That's right. These guys are lucky. They must have been driving an old beater BMW, or they would have taken it as well, Wayne.
Well, you know what? This was 20 years ago, so a $10,000 truck was a nice truck.
Exactly. No, you're exactly right.
Yeah, they took it from him, and he hired an attorney to represent him or consulted with an attorney. And the attorney said, yeah, I've represented a few people on this. If you want to pursue this on principle, we can, but I have to be honest with you, it's going to cost you
more than
to
that.
Hire me.
That's right.
Yep. More than the 20 grand.
That's right.
$10,000 truck.
Wayne, I got to run to break, but we're going to come back to this in the future. So stay tuned. We'll talk more about this. And that's a great story, by the way. And it's true. I know that. Franktown Firearms is next. Find him at klzradio.com.
Join a community of people who value self-sufficiency, the ability to protect their families, safety around firearms, and most importantly, fun. Sign up for a tactical fun night at Franktown Firearms. The team at Franktown Firearms fosters a non-competitive, welcoming atmosphere for shooters of all levels. Instead of competing against each other, they encourage you to compete against yourself. That way, everyone motivates each other to improve, from staff to members to first-timers. Tactical fun nights at Franktown Firearms are designed to be a starting point where beginners can become part of the family. People of all skill levels are invited to practice moving and shooting as you duck around barriers. You don't need a gun to participate. Buy your own ammo, and they will provide a pistol free of charge. Experience the rare feeling of camaraderie you will only find at Franktown Firearms, where friends are made. Find them now at klzradio.com/Franktown.
All right, that's it, guys, for today. Don't forget, first thing tomorrow, 3 o'clock, Dr. Kelly Victory and Steve House will be with us for 2 hours. So tune into that. Otherwise, have a great evening. National Crawford Roundtable is next. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.